All right, the good road trip continues for the Padres. Another win tonight in Pittsburgh. They're back at 500. The Padres 5-5 overall, and we're here to react to it. This is the Padres Collective presented by Prize Picks. John Schaefer, Matt Devine, Kevin Acey's in Pittsburgh, where the clock will strike midnight within the next 20 minutes or so. And as Kevin and Matt know, and I do as well, what a difference a day or two can make over the course of a Major League Baseball season from 2-5 to 5-5 feels completely different. And we'll start with tonight, guys, and Kevin, you were on site, but this is one of those games that, for me, it's like the difference sometimes between a good team and a bad team is just like fundamental baseball. You know, Pittsburgh running into outs there in the second inning, Padres taking advantage. Obviously, Germán Márquez was terrific in this game in general. The Padres bullpen has been great as well. It seems like the offense has been better here the last couple of days. So just a sound win, I would say. That's what it looked like watching on television. And the good road trip continues. We'll see what they can do against Paul Skeens tomorrow.
Yeah, look, I'd heard how great the Pirates were playing, right? They do. They've got really good young pitchers. That pitcher tonight, Padres did a really good job against them. I heard about all these guys they brought in, and I think that's great. I really do. But they look exactly like the team that I've watched the Padres beat now 12 out of the last 13 times and 7 times in a row here in Pittsburgh. They threw to the wrong base. It was really, I think, their third base coach, perhaps his fault. What was the other one? Brian Reynolds overran Jackson Merrill's double. Hey, you're right, man. That's the thing. And that's the thing the Padres have done really well these last two 90 win seasons is beat teams like this.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And it's very interesting. So, you know, John, you mentioned it earlier, 2-5 going and we're playing the Red Sox. We lose that game with Michael King on the bump and the vibes were pretty low. I texted our little group chat with John and Kevin. I said, panic meter 7.5. I won't lie. I was losing some faith. Boys rattle off 3 straight. Our friends in Boston, they lose 3 straight. They're 2-8 now, and they're looking up at a very difficult, you know, kind of comeback when it comes to getting their name back in the playoff picture. Our friends in Boston are not happy. That could have easily been the Pods. We could have been having an episode right now at 2-8, but the fellas came through. We had some great pitching performances from the bullpen, starting pitching. Got to give a shout out to my man, Manny Machado. I could be hard on him sometimes. He leads the team in OPS right now. He's had a really good little run here lately. You know, Gavin Sheets has been showing up. I've been very impressed with the team the last few games.
Yeah, I mean, I would say this as well. Germán Márquez, when you think about Buehler Márquez, you're like, hey, can someone emerge, you know, just give them a turn in the rotation where they, you know, you don't have to worry about it for another 5 days. You don't have to be thinking about it. What comes next on the other side? I know Márquez was interesting. He's really pitched well against Pittsburgh in his career. Incredible. Yeah, I mean, he's pitched incredible, I think, as well as anyone in the major leagues right now against the Pittsburgh Pirates. And, you know, he was good. Again, I thought that he benefited, and correct me if I'm wrong, Kevin, I thought that he benefited from Pittsburgh's miscues, specifically in that second inning, right? There's a base hit to right. The ball caroms into shallow right field that easily should score a run. And that might have cost him 2+ runs. They don't get that lead runner, and there's the additional out. And then Germán Márquez gets out of it. But other than that, I mean, he earned it. The 6 shutout innings, he basically earned. I thought Pittsburgh probably ran into, again, an out or two in there. But he pitched well, obviously.
I thought it was interesting. I think he reached back into the, hey, I was an ace for a long time, right? Like, I've been throwing 7 shutout in Coors Field. That's still me. Like, if he believes it, fine. And it looks like that's what he did. And that's why you kind of got to like a veteran pitcher as your number 5 guy who can battle like that. They needed it tonight. They got 2 innings apiece from Morgan and Marinaccio. That was huge. Half their bullpen was down tonight, man. I am never going to discourage you, Matt Devine, because I think one of the highs of, it might not feel like a high all the time, but I think one of the highs of being a fan is panicking. That's what makes the being exultant feel so good, right? So I'm never going to, but I know, I don't think I responded to the panic meter thing because not that I knew the Padres were going to win 3 in a row. This is exactly what John said, man. Like, I knew we were not going to, whatever. I knew at some point it was going to be like, they're going to be okay. And their at-bats are better. They have chased starters, maybe not with a lot of runs, but I'm telling you, like, I put stock when people say they're going to do something or they say, hey, we're doing this and you're going to see. And that's what we're seeing right now is the Padres are doing what they said they were going to do offensively.
It's been fun to watch. You know, it's funny how it seems like the last year or so, team goes on these road trips and gets hot, right? And then it happened last year. Seems like it's happening again. I am not complaining one bit. We said on, I think, the season preview episode, John, I think you asked us, Kevin and Matt, would you be fine with a 6-6 start? I'm pretty sure you said that, coming back to Colorado, or it might have been Kevin who asked that. And I said yes. And I'm still fine with that. We got Paul Skeens tomorrow and Mitch Keller on Wednesday. If we could take one of those games and we get back at home Thursday night, City Connect night against Colorado, I'm a happy camper, man. What I'm seeing right now is the team in LA is, you know, taking care of business, right? We're probably not going to win the West. Let's just be honest. I think we could have told you that 2 weeks ago. We'll be able to tell you that now. That being said, this is a playoff team. This is what we're trying to be. We're trying to be a playoff team. And if you could just hang around 500, new owners coming in a couple weeks, I feel like the vibes are going to pick up a little bit. And, you know, I'm excited. I'm very proud of the, you know, the answer. Because like I said, I follow a lot of people from Boston. They are not happy right now. They're 2-8. It's a completely different story being 5-5 and 2-8. It just really is. And that easily could have happened to the Padres. We had some big players make some big plays the last few nights. Shout out Herman for a great start tonight. Tomorrow we got Nicky P on the bump. It should be great.
Let's reset for 1 second, guys. If you're here for a first time, or maybe you haven't subscribed as of yet, we do have year-round coverage for you, weekly Padres content in season, out of season. So please subscribe if you have not yet done that. Smash the like button for us. And also, we appreciate the super chats. The first one is rolled in. We'll get to those later in the show. You can see on today's show, we'll get to that towards the end of the show. But thank you, Paulie, for the first super of the night. And click the dollar sign below the chat box if you want to see your comment on screen, if you want us to react to one of your questions here tonight. Can I make just this general point, by the way? And we can spend a few minutes on this game, or we can move towards the Red Sox series as well. You got a Pittsburgh team, as Kevin said, they haven't played the Padres well, obviously. I mean, they haven't played well in general, but they had won, 6 of 7 coming in. And I know Kevin looks like he's a meteorologist in Pittsburgh. I know the weather there has been awful. And I know tomorrow it's supposed to be maybe even worse in terms of like a high temperature of like 40 degrees, if that. But I'll tell you what, when I throw on a game and they got the top prospect in baseball and they got Paul Skeens in this team and there is no one in the building. They've won 6 of 7. I get it. It's cold. It's Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. School's in session. It's not San Diego. They haven't won anything in 35 years, more than that. But Lord, can you imagine? Imagine if the Padres were 6-3, had won 6 of 7 and were coming home and playing the Pirates and playing in front of 9,400 people. It's so crazy what a difference a venue can make. And Pittsburgh will draw, I'm sure, once they get into the summer, or if they put together a decent team, they'll draw better than this. But just to create your own energy in something like this, that's not the easiest thing in the world either, I would imagine.
Matt, you take it, because I sit in the heated press box. We like to have the windows open, but not on a night like this, and certainly not tomorrow. I never, ever, ever tell I agree with what John said. I absolutely thought the same thing tonight, but I never, ever tell people that pay for their tickets or have to pay for their tickets what they should do. You talk, Matt.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting, right? Because I have only lived in California my entire life. So these, you know, when a game's 40 degrees in Pittsburgh on a Monday night, I could say from California, you know, like you said, Kevin, right? You said heated box. When I know that our April game's in San Diego, I might need a sweatshirt. That's the only thing I might. It's a little different. I think the Pirates are an interesting study, right? You have a bunch of young talent coming up to a team that sucked pretty much my entire life, to be completely transparent. I'm turning 30 this year. They've sucked my entire life. They've had a year or two here and there with McCutcheon in, you know, mid-2010s, but that's about it. So Connor Griffin's debut, they've won 5 straight. Seeing that crowd today was a little shocking, to be completely honest. I know there was a rain delay. I was expecting it to be a little bit more lively, especially when you have a team like the Pirates where Tatis is a draw, you know, Manny's a draw still. Like those are, it's not the White Sox coming to town. So I was a little surprised.
They announced 8,400, by the way. I just looked at that and realized they announced 8,400.
1,000 of them were wearing Padres gear. Yeah.
It's insane.
I also think like it's just very interesting to me how, I wouldn't even say take for granted, but just like how grateful I am that Petco Parks is as live as it is every night, right? Sold out. I think we've become so accustomed to the sellouts that we forget that this is more what, you know, a lot of baseball towns are right now. There's a video that went viral earlier this morning or this afternoon, and it was Minnesota, the Twins tweeted, and it was like Monday Night Baseball over Monday Night Football. And there was, I'm not joking, 14 people in the crowd at the Twins Stadium. So it's like Petco Park is an anomaly, and we're very lucky that we get to watch the Padres there every night.
No doubt. Kevin, any other takeaways with tonight before we kind of maybe look back at what played out at Fenway this past weekend? Obviously, Mason Miller and the comeback yesterday from four runs down. But anything tonight that sticks out that you'll be writing about maybe within the next 24 hours?
I just thought that, you know, really good at-bats. I mean, Manny had some really good at-bats. I mean, Bubba Chandler is freaking vicious,
he
man.
He throws hard,
he's
man.
Vicious. Now, he's got a lot to learn. He probably needs to refine one of his secondary pitches, right? You could, you know, when your changeup is your fastball almost, right? Or whatever. Like, you know, but like when he throws that slider and it's working just when he's throwing – like what, his first 30 pitches, first 30 fastballs, like one was below 99. Like Manny had some just fantastic at bats tonight. And, you know, that was my big takeaway because, you know, Manny likes to talk to the fans through me sometimes. So I take the brunt of Manny's, like, you know, acting like I, you know, have never watched a game before or something like that. And he's talking about the great at-bats they're taking. So, like, I'll give him credit because he's been talking like a tough guy the last few days before they started hitting. He was talking that way. And including, I think it was Friday or something night in the clubhouse in Boston. And so I get talked to a lot and half of it's BS. So when someone is willing to be like Manny is that way, and then they follow through or it is true. I mean, I got mad respect for Manny in that way.
I also want to give a quick shout out too, before we get into obviously the Red Sox series, but you got guys like Castellanos, right? Who are in Sheets yesterday. I know it was against the Red Sox, but Sheets came off the bench in the ninth. He got us a huge run, right? That's a humongous, obviously Mason Miller's pretty much a cheat code, but even Mason Miller would tell you, I'd rather pitch with a 2-run lead than a 1-run lead. Right. And, and Gavin Sheets off the bench hat, you know, it's a cold day in Boston, gets a huge double, you know, ground ball to the pitcher. Laureano hits a ground ball. Sheets reads it perfectly, gets to third, and then Tatis hits a sack. That's a massive run. Nick Castellanos today starts us pretty much two big hits to get us going. Right. That is the difference between, to be completely honest, last year's Padres team, off the bench, we didn't really have that. You know, we had Trent Brooks. We had Yuli Gurriel. We had some of these guys. And no disrespect to those guys. I wish them the best. But we have real MLB players on our bench right now. We have real guys that are coming up in big spots. Ty France even had a huge hit in it might have been Friday, but he hit that ball off the monster. We got guys off the bench that can come in and really play. So very impressed by the lineup and kind of what they've been showing lately.
Give Castellanos credit, man. Give him credit. Like this, he's never had a start to a season like this where he's a role player ever. And, you know, give him credit. He's doing really well. He's hitting really well. He's not a great first baseman. He's hitting really well.
Yeah.
We'll get into lineup changes more maybe in a little bit, but 7-8-9 each with two hits. Again, this is something that just plagued the Padres a year ago. How many times did they have in 162, 7-8-9 with multiple hits in the same game? I can count it on one finger. I don't think it happened often a year ago. So again, it's like this was an interesting. We can transition here to the Red Sox series. And again, if you guys are here, subscribe, and if you're here, thank you for the super chats. We'll get to them towards the end of the Padres Collective here tonight. But I thought heading into this road trip, Kevin, like this to me was not an easy trip. Boston was desperate getting home. So you think, well, they might have they got a pathway to take two games. I mean, they're desperate. They're coming home. They won game one. And then Pittsburgh was just, it's early. So no team is out of it early. You know, who knows what Pittsburgh looks like in 4 months, but you call up the top prospect and you got Paul Skeens and you're thinking, well, you know, they've gotten off to a decent start. So I'm thinking to myself, listen, a 3-3 trip is a good trip. Now, all of a sudden, you're getting greedy and you're looking at potentially 4 or 5 wins. Now, you'd have to go through Skeens for 5, but you're thinking about getting 4 wins. But I give the Padres a lot of credit because at 2-5, man, you would have thought that they had just lost, you know, game 3 of the NLCS. We're now 3 games to none. But, you know, to credit to Craig Stammen and what some of the players have said, like, it's too small of a sample size now over 10 games. They've looked like more of the team I think people have expected them to look like.
I do the football analogy all the time because I got off baseball for 20 years. My wife wouldn't let me do it when the kids were growing up. Yeah. So, you know, I know football, and I know that you live and die with every game because they're huge. And then you come here. It was this game 10. Is that right?
Yeah.
So we just finished the first game in the NFL season. All right. Mm-hmm. And the other day, Craig Stammen made that point. And he also, I don't have any idea if he's hearing things or whatever, but he also made a comment that I thought spoke directly to some of the talk about his lineups and all that, talking about this is the time of year to mess around. This is the time of year to find out, can this guy handle this pitcher? Can this guy handle this situation? Can this guy come off the bench after 3 days of doing nothing and start? You know, this is the time to find that out. Not to mention that they've got Sungmon Song coming. So, like, who is our guy that we're keeping? And so, like, I think they were very well had it in hand that it's early. That said, to your guys' point, you start out 2-5. It's one thing to say it, and it's another thing to do it.
Absolutely. I'm just happy, man. I mean, if you, I like you mentioned, Kevin, you got the fan perspective here, right? John, you're a professional. Kevin, you're a professional. I am not a professional. That is, there's no doubt. And
I want you to keep riding it. Keep riding it. That's good. Keep riding it.
I will say sometimes I look back on some of the stuff I might text my friends or tweet, and I'm like, oh, that might have been a little tough. Especially now that we're 5-5. But that's the fan perspective, right? I gotta work on that a little bit. And I'm very just I love watching a team play good baseball. Are we going to be, you know, a 150-win team? We're not. But when there's games like today, right, when you're facing, let's be honest, Bubba Chandler versus Ramon Marquez, from what we've seen from Ramon Marquez the last few years, they had the pitching advantage. They're coming off of 5 straight wins. We're coming off of our first series win against a team like the Red Sox, who have honestly been really bad. So we're coming into this game. There's a real shot. It's like, hey, we lose today. We lose to Skeens. We might get swept before our, you know, we – go into a homestand against Colorado. There's a real opportunity there. And I think the fact that the boys just showed up, Germán Márquez twirled a gem. And I mean, obviously there, he got a little lucky there here and there, but he, for a fifth starter, he did exactly what he needed to do. The offense, when Manny goes, the team goes, right? Shockingly, Manny's had 3 great games at the plate. What has happened? 3 straight wins. Tatis hasn't been able to hit a baseball. He had a nice hit against Aroldis Chapman, but other than massive. That, like, Toddy has not been great, and we're still winning some ball games. So just imagine once he starts going, and he's hitting the ball hard. It's just right at people, unfortunately.
Can we go back to yesterday? Just because, like, that to me is the game where it's like, let's just start up the bus. It's 4-0. It's cold. It's raining. Who cares? Like, you know, it's early. It would be very easy to just go through the motions. I mean, having called 15 years of minor league baseball games, I understand the dichotomy of getaway day. Now, in the big leagues, you're not getting away from anything. I mean, you cannot throw anything away. It's the major leagues. But, you know, you're down 4-0. It doesn't look great. And then in an instant, they reminded me of the 2024 team, which had a lot of big innings and had a lot of big comebacks. Now, I don't think one game makes a season of what 2024's team did. But I remember that game. Remember this, Kevin, when they trailed like 8-0 to the Cubs at home and Toddy hit 2 home runs and out of nowhere, they won that game like 10 days in, if that. And that was that springboard. Like, well, if you can win that game, you can win any game. And I don't think this was to that extreme, but I do think this is something you kind of put in your back pocket and say, you know what? We're going to be in games. Even when we trail by 2 or 3 or 4 runs, we can win games. And I think yesterday goes a long way to potentially get this team back on track.
I have a friend who does not believe in momentum, and I respect this friend greatly, but he doesn't believe in momentum because, you know, how many times do we say, oh, they've got the momentum, and then it doesn't work out? Here's what I always say to him. Players believe in momentum. And if they, since they're the ones on the field, right, they're the ones having to grind through 162 games in 187 days. Yes, that is the kind of, it doesn't mean it will, that is the kind of game that can be a springboard that gets these guys believing absolutely. And those are the kind that if they don't happen, then you start to go, can we do it? Absolutely.
Yeah, momentum's real. And no disrespect to your friend, but as a fan, that's a real thing, right? I mean, you see some of these, it happens. And John, I love that call out to that Cubs game. That's one of my favorite regular season Padres games in a long time. That was a special game. And it really was. 2024 was a great example of a team that, you know, that whenever they were down, I was like, this team still has they still have a shot, right?
I agree.
And I would love to see this 2026 Padres team, you know, copy that sort of vibe, kind of have that, you know, mentality. I think it was a great example was, and we could talk about the Red Sox series, but yesterday, right? Wandy Peralta comes in, does not have it, and we blow the lead. And I thought this is going to be a stinker and people are going to be very, very angry, right? Jackson Merrill, first AB, next inning, hits a home run. That is a leader. That's a captain. That is the type of guy you pick your guy up. It was really cool to see, and I hope we see more of that as the season continues.
Do we want to stay on the Red Sox series for – listen, where Kevin is, it's midnight, so we can kind of meander our way. Do you want to talk about how the lineup has impacted what they've been doing here recently, specifically Ramon Laureano being inserted at the top of the lineup and what it's meant over the last couple of days? Again, these sample sizes are so small. But even Kevin, going back to Matt's point, like the game two against the Red Sox, which is very quote unquote losable, like you get to 2-2 there in the ninth, like, you know, yeah, you got Mason Miller, but they got Chapman. And all of a sudden you're in the 10th inning and you got neither of them and you're on the road. And that's not the, you know, at that point, I think you probably only have a 40% chance of winning. You certainly don't have a 60% chance of winning, I wouldn't think, as the road team heading to the ninth inning. But they win that game in the manner in which they won it. I was very impressed with two outs, Todd Tease in the midst of that horrific game. Mm-hmm. And from that moment, you know, we talked about Sunday, but Saturday, I think, was pretty impactful too.
First off, that moment, the Padres hope that was a sign about Tatis, right?
Right.
4Ks, right? And we all know, we don't have to get into Pouty Tatis, but we all know that. And so while, you know, he has not been great, he's had some decent at-bats, and he hasn't looked like frustrated Tatis. We're 2 weeks in or a week and a half in. But that was a huge moment, they hope, for Fernando, and I thought it was. I wrote a lot about it. I thought that it definitely could be. That was a great game. I mean, freaking Cora pitch hits for Duran like that, like, and then that guy has a great at bat. And like, there were just so many good moments in that game, including that moment with Tatis. And yeah, so when you also win a game like that, that was so low key and tense, that was big and could have led into the next day, which then leads in today. So I this is like one of those times. Now, if you're the Padres, you go, great, Paul Skeens tomorrow. But hey, they have good at bats against Paul Skeens. You don't know what can happen.
Hey, we're a couple O'Neill Cruz misplays in the center field to put a six spot on him, right? And didn't that happen at City Field? I don't think we're I could see it. Anything's possible. If you tell me Herman Marquez was gonna go five shutty today and we were gonna win 5-0, I probably wouldn't have believed you, to be completely honest. And it happened. So that's the great part about baseball. I completely agree with you, Kevin. Tatis 0-for-4, 4Ks. The old Tatis, probably in that spot, down two strikes to Aroldis Chapman. I don't know if he makes that play. And he did. And he helped win us that game. So, you know, I think he's going to break out of this little slump he's in right now. I honestly think he's hitting the ball really hard. Obviously, the pull side, the pull rate isn't necessarily there. I think the power, it seems like a lot of his balls are similar to last year, where it seems like he's hitting it really hard, but like at second base. So I'm trying to figure out a way, you know, how he can get kind of back to those power numbers. But at the same time, I think he's going to figure it out.
How many home runs has this team hit in 10 games?
There were two yesterday. There were three. I think it's five.
So they've hit five. But you're 5-5. Again, now this is something that I think the deeper you get into a year, when the slug conversation continues to play out, if it rivals 2025 or follows the same path as 2025, I think it's going to be a big talking point. Mm-hmm. Now, remember, 2024, I don't have it in front of me. Obviously, their home run numbers, everything was better. But 2024, it wasn't just because everyone was hitting 40 home runs. It was a lot of, like, you know, singling people to death and just turning little innings into big innings, right? Like, it was a bunt and an infield hit, and all of a sudden, a double down the right field line, and you're like, how did they – two walks? Like, how did they score four runs in this inning? So I'd love to see, listen, if they could somehow emulate 2024, again, they weren't the best slug team in baseball in 2024, but they had to be a top 10 offense in the sport. I wonder what this will look like as it plays out, I guess is my point.
They did finish 10th with in home runs that year.
2024.
That's what we kept waiting for last year, right? But Jackson never got healthy, right? Manny kind of got hot at the end with the homer numbers, but still, it was his first time, I believe, his first full season without 28 home runs. He hit 27. Right. So, like, everybody's numbers were down, and Jackson was hurt. And so, yes, that is something to still keep an eye on here. Like, right? Like, we don't get too high and we don't get too low. We keep a sober eye on that. Okay, so where is the slug? And okay, who is their leadoff hitter? Because they have the worst, they're worst in the league right now in leadoff hitter. And like, okay, at some point, is the lineup going to settle in? And so there's still a lot of questions. And I think chief among them is slug.
Yeah, slug's still concerning. There's no doubt. But it's a lot more fun to talk about, you know, slug after three wins than it was last episode, right? It's funny how you see that Manny Machado home run yesterday, right? And that just goes to show how slug can impact a game. That game is a, what was it? Where it was 4-2 when Manny hit that home run or something like that?
No, they were down. They were down 4-3. Yeah.
Yeah. So that is a game changing play right there, right? One swing of the bat. And it's great to string together hits, but we're facing major league pitching. Every single pitcher out of the pen now throws 99 with a wipeout slider. It's very difficult. No matter how good of hitting, no matter how good your hitters are, to string together hits in the majors, right? Especially when you're playing a good team, all of these bullpens are getting better and better. So, how do you alienate? How do you get above that? And it's slug. And when your guys slug, when Merrill hits those home runs, when you know Manny hits a home run, that's huge. That is a really, really big deal. And once Tati gets going, the thing with Fernando Tatis Jr. is, it's not like we're thinking, oh, man, has he lost it? Because it's not like he lost his slug. There's no doubt. I just don't think he's been getting – seeing pitches the way that I think he will be soon. And I know his power is there. I hope he figures it out soon just because I love watching him hit home runs. I'm very excited.
I will say this, by the way, in the Manny conversation, first of all, going back to the 8-6 win, correct me if I'm wrong, at least five of the runs came with two outs. Machado's three-run home run, and then after the Machado kicked ball, which I think is a thing of beauty, I love the fact that he's saying what he's saying publicly. There's just no way that it wasn't with intent, and I'm glad he had the foresight. I've always said this about Machado, and this guy is the most polarizing player in Padres franchise history, and he's one of the more polarizing players in modern baseball history for me, but he is so smart. He is such a smart player. I mean, he's always a half second ahead. He is a brilliant player. No matter if it's going well or if it's going poorly, you can never take away his baseball instincts. And sometimes I'll be guilty of this. Sometimes he looks so lackadaisical because everything is so smooth and easy for him. And when it's lackadaisical and it doesn't come, you're like, what's going on with Manny? But I'm telling you, man, he is a really – we know this. He's going to be a Hall of Famer. He's going to be in a Padres uniform. Yeah, there have been highs and lows in there. But I'm telling you, when Manny Machado's career is over, I'm going to look back on this guy and be like, this is one of the smartest players I've ever watched play. And that's another example. There are dozens of examples of plays like that over the course of time that Manny has made. I think it's a winning play. I think without that play, they lose the game. I really do. I think if it's called or if he doesn't make that play, I have no idea if they ever get back into that game.
I think that you have to watch Manny play every day to appreciate him because still, like, he didn't run out of ball the other day
in Fenway. I remember.
And all those writers were like, and doing the usual. And it's like, okay, well, you know, other than the elbow injury, the guy's played more games than anyone over the last 12 years, 11 years. And, you know, I remember one time when he busted his ass down the line and he sprained his ankle in Colorado.
Yep.
Like, this guy is, like, you know, he is just so smart, but I really do think you have to watch him play every day to appreciate what he means. Otherwise, you just think, oh, he's super talented, but, you know, no.
Yep.
He's super talented, super smart, knows the game.
I've been really impressed. He leads the team in OPS right now. I've been really impressed by his eye. He's walking a lot. And you know, hey, obviously when you pay a guy a lot of money, you're like, oh, we need him to hit for power. We need homers. We need, you know, RBIs. hey, when the team was struggling at the plate, I need some guys to get on base. If Manny gets on base, we got some guys in behind him that can, you know, that have some pop. So I've been happy to see Manny kind of get it going a little bit. And yeah, I say this all the time. We've been saying it for the last, you know, 6 years almost. When Manny Machado plays well, the Padres win baseball games. It's pretty much as simple as that. You look at the first half of 2025, Padres were a good team. Manny started in the All-Star game. Second half of 2025, we were not that great of a team. Manny did not do well. When Manny does well, the Padres win games. Last three games, Manny's been doing great. Padres have won three games. Obviously, there's a few nuances in there, but I love seeing it, and I hope he continues on this hot streak.
All right, let's take a moment to pause, and we'll get back to this conversation in a moment. Again, guys, if you're here, subscribe, and if you're here, thank you for the super chats. We'll get to them at the end of tonight's Padres Collective. We see them that have been rolling in, and we'll get to them coming up in the next 15 minutes or so. I do want to take a moment and thank our friends over at Prize Picks. Let's come up with a lineup, guys, for tomorrow's Padres Pirates game. Let's just use this game and come up with a lineup collectively. This is a great pitching matchup, obviously, Skeens Pivetta. So I'm open to your collective insights. Is a big number. Will Nick Pivetta strike out more than 6.5 Pirates tomorrow? And or will Paul Skeens strike out more than 6.5 Padres tomorrow? What do you guys think?
Pirates don't chase. They don't chase badly, and they do foul off a lot of pitches. I don't know. 6.5 for Nick? No.
Okay. I'm going to go less.
I went under last time, and Nicky P, he shut me up pretty quick. So I'm going to ride with my man Kevin and say under, and hopefully he shuts me up again.
Do you want to do some reverse jinx or like?
What it is?
Yeah, I'm cool with a reverse jinx play on this one, right? We take all the Fernando no homer, right? No, I'm just kidding.
Do we want to go like the reverse jinx and say more than 6.5 strikeouts for Skeens? And if he doesn't, then Padres fans will be happy.
Hey, perfect.
Hey, I want to say this. Like, yeah, the Padres have faced some of the most prolific strikeout guys in the game today, starters, right? And they have struck out relatively few times. Now, I'm not saying, like, they're capable of a 10 strikeouts against Paul Skeens. But, like, they have been pretty good. That's part of the reason that you kind of believed them when they were talking about their at-bats and all that. It's like, you know, these guys are doing pretty good against some really good pitchers. So, you know, I don't know.
I kind of like less, to be honest with you.
Let's do it.
I mean, he's coming off a 5-inning outing against Cincinnati. We know what he did in his debut. We're going less. And then let's find a hitter or two to do something. I mean, is Tatis going to have a hit tomorrow?
He's due. Telling you. I think what a better way for him to get going. Obviously, I don't think we should bet on him to hit a home run. I don't necessarily think that's the smartest bet, but man, what a way to get going. Tatis hitting a home run off Skeens. It goes viral on Instagram. He reposts it. My favorite thing about Tatis is every time he does something really good in a game and they win, I've never seen someone repost an Instagram story quicker when he gets to the dugout, man. He has that open. The last pitch is shown. Scanlon's doing the end of the game, you know, broadcast, and there's already three Instagram stories up for Tatis. So hopefully that happens.
Kevin, they've never faced Skeens. Obviously, listen, in the regular season,
no Pirates starters giving up a home run yet. So no, let's that's now. That's so you know, just saying. Listen,
I'm just looking here. Hold on,
I'm learning about all this. I've never placed a bet in my life on sports.
Well, that's okay.
I can't believe that. Is that a thing? You can bet whether Tatis is going to have a hit or not.
Oh yeah,
yeah. We got him with more than a half hit or more than a half total base. So any hit counts. But who do we want to give the home run to for the Padres tomorrow? I mean, we got Toddy, we got Sheets, Merrill, Machado.
You know who's been hitting the ball really well is Ramon Laureano, and he finally got rewarded with a double that fell like 6 inches. I don't know, fair, because he had some nice catches against them the last few days, including tonight. I'm going with Laureano.
Okay,
I love it. I'm a razor Ramon guy. You tell me. I'm always riding for my man.
Any advice given by the Padres beat writer on gambling should be considered for entertainment purposes only.
Here's the play. I love it. Here's the play. Pivetta less than 6.5 strikeouts. Skeens less than 6.5 strikeouts. Tatis with more than a half total base, and Laureano with a home run. Now here's the thing: if we get all four right, 10 pays 190. We could flex it, which means you only have to get three right and 10 plays 120. That's what we're doing. So we get three out of four right, 10 pays 120. submit lineup. That's how easy it is, guys. By the way, you can play along. Sign up for Prize Picks with code HMA and get $50 in lineups instantly. When you play your first $5 lineup, just click the link in the description down below. Again, sign up with Prize Picks with code HMA. Get $50 in lineups instantly when you play your first $5 lineup. See how fun that
was? I'm gonna get on there tomorrow, learn all about this. I'm gonna learn all about this because I didn't know a word that you just said.
All right, so that's okay.
That's great.
You got a lot.
They make
going
it really
on,
easy man. Now. So yeah, I'll get on there. Sure. I need another vice. Let's go.
Let's fast forward to a couple of things. Just the health of this team. Jason Adam is getting closer, is he not? He pitched back-to-back days in Triple A.
I think there's a good chance it'll be here. It's a debate going that has been going on. I suspect the decision has been made. He's eligible to come off the IL on Wednesday. They've been talking about should it be Wednesday or Thursday? Give him another game tomorrow, maybe in Triple A. I don't think so. If he doesn't pitch tomorrow in AAA, expect that you're going to see him on Wednesday morning here.
Any other significant injuries that I'm just trying to... Sung Moon Song is now eligible, but he's just playing in AAA, right?
Yeah, you know, he didn't really get much spring training. Yep. He can be down in the minors. I'm not saying that they keep him there longer than 30 days, which would be the limit on the rehab, but they could. And, you know, there was always the plan that I haven't even paid attention to what he's done because I've always understood it to be that he was going to stay down there for a little bit as long as, you know, everybody stayed healthy up here and things weren't going terribly, but that he needs to figure out playing in the United States, get some at-bats, stay healthy. So, yeah.
What else matter? We keep an eye on injury wise, right? Griffin Canning, obviously.
Yeah, Canning, man. He had a nice little start for, was it? I don't know if it was San Antonio or El Paso, but I'm excited for Griffin. If you've watched the Pods Collective in the past, he's a friend of the DSG. So I'll be rooting very hard for Griffin. And I think, hey, you look at our rotation outside Walker, you know, Herman had that one start against the Giants. That wasn't great, but this is some decent starts. Michael King, back-to-back really good starts. We haven't even taught. I can't believe when we did the Red Sox series recap, we didn't even touch on my man leading baseball pitchers in all war, Randy Vasquez. I mean, those are two guys putting in some good starts. I was very impressed with, obviously, I could talk about Randy V all day. He's such an easy guy to root for. But I've also been extremely impressed with both starts from Michael King. You know, I think he's looked really good. And if he could be a guy that starts 30 games for us and pitches the way that we know Michael King can pitch, he's going to be a humongous part of this team. So the rotation was a humongous concern before the season. There's still definitely some, you know, things to be a little bit concerned about, especially if one of those, you know, big three goes down. But I'm pretty impressed so far seeing kind of what we're seeing. And to talk about the bullpen too, I mean, Ron Marinaccio and David Morgan today, both two innings apiece. Shuddy, it's like that's our fifth and sixth best pitchers out the pen, maybe even sixth or seventh. Bradley looks untouchable too. It's like I just feel like it's arms on arms on arms. So very impressed by what we've been seeing from our pitching staff.
I'm glad you went there. Can we just take a moment? Maybe we had this conversation a week ago in the Padres Collective. Maybe I've had it with Jim elsewhere, but like I'll jinx it. I don't care because I think it's a conversation that is worth having. It has to be had about Mason Miller. I mean, what's the over under on blown saves? It's either a half or 1.5 for me. I mean, seriously, like if he blows three saves this year, I'll be probably mildly disappointed. He has been so filthy and so untouchable. And his career ERA now with the Padres, I get it, it's only 25 or 30 games. It's easily sub one.
Oh, yeah.
Guys, is there a pitcher in baseball you'd rather have on the mound for one inning than Mason Miller? I think that answer is unequivocally no. Huh. You'd prefer Miller. I get it. It's hard. There are examples of guys going perfect in a season. It's rare. So I wouldn't put it at a half. But I'd probably put it at 1.5. I'm like, seriously, if this guy blows three saves, I'm like, what the hell happened? Is how I look at it 10 days into the season. Maybe that's not fair, and that's putting a ton on him. But there's a reason you trade away, which they traded away for Mason Miller. And maybe he puts together one of those special seasons where you're getting like Cy Young consideration because you post a 0.65 ERA and have one blown save on October 1st.
Here's how dominant he is. I'm not going to blow you out of the water on this one. Like, I mean, like, it's awful early for us to be talking about this, but that's how dominant he is, that I'm going to say you're not being ridiculous. It's a long ass season, and you know, the guys can run into 102, you know, and hit it out of the park, and it's, you know, a one run lead. He pitches in the hardest part of the game to pitch. So I don't know. That's an awful low number, but that's how dominant he is that I'm like listening to what you're saying going,
it's a low number.
Yeah. Wow. That's possible.
I will say, watching the, you know, faces of these teams when they go up against Mason Miller, it's helpless, man. Marcelo Meyer looked like he was back. Where did he go to high school in San Diego? I forget where he was. He looked like how pitchers looked facing him in high school, right? Where you're like, oh man, this guy, I have no shot. These major league baseball players who get paid tens of millions of dollars a year to play baseball legitimately look scared when he is pitching. it's like they shouldn't even go out without a bat. They're so nervous. I think it was game two of his Padres tenure. He gave up a home run to Lourdes Gurriel Jr. In Arizona. Since then,
nothing. Every 25 single and time he has the
ball, every single time he has the ball, he's striking someone out. It's more when he's pitching now. Is he going to use the slider? Is he going to use the changeup? Is he going to use the fastball? It's not, is this guy going to get a hit? Or, oh man, we really need this guy to come in and shut the door down. I'm genuinely wondering what fastball, changeup, or slider, like which pitch mix and how many pitches it's going to take for him to strike out the side. Is that putting a lot on a person? Absolutely. Is there an opportunity that one day he's not going to have his best stuff? Yes. That being said, as a fan, there's nothing more fun than watching a dude come in and you're like, oh, this is about to be, because at the end of the day, baseball is entertainment, and he couldn't be more entertaining as a fan.
Let's get to some of these supers. Someone had a really good question just in general in here. How much will Mason Miller's contract be once he hits, well, not just arbitration, but free agency? I mean, that's so far out because he's controllable, for the next three seasons plus this one? So does that mean he's arbitration eligible next year? So he's arbitration one, two, three, right? Dude, the money's going to be fascinating on Mason Miller in arbitration, and then as a free agent. Again, it's too impossible to look that far because we don't know about health. And like, if you're this player 3 years from today or 4 years from today, you get the richest deal in the history of baseball for a reliever. But that's assuming 3 or 4 years of this, which has probably never been done in the history of the sport. So I think, but from an arbitration perspective, this guy's going to get absolutely paid.
Yeah. To have been doing what he's doing basically for, you know, 23, right?
Yeah.
24, 25, and now
26.
You know, that might be, I'm going to have to look that up. I'm going to have to see how many guys have had the opportunity by the time they're arbitration eligible to be as established of a closer as he will have been.
Not to mention the next CBA, by the way. The next CBA may change the way these arbitration eligible players are even paid, I would think, potentially to benefit the player. And the union, potentially.
It's going to have to be a tool that is used by the owners ultimately to get some of their concessions. Absolutely. To get more players paid earlier. Yes.
I think the Padres marketing team has also a humongous opportunity on the table with Mason Miller. I think there's so much money to be made having this guy, the corn entrance, having just this absolute flamethrower. I mean, growing up, the Padres weren't the best team in my childhood, and everybody remembers Trevor Time, and everybody remembers, you know, Hell's Bells. And we actually have a decent team now and a closer that, let's be honest, is rivaling what Trevor was in his prime. And Trevor is, you know, probably the second best reliever of all time. I know some San Diegans get mad when I say Mariano might be better, but at least in my lifetime, it's 1-2 or 1A, 1B. Mason Miller, if you're looking at the stats, I mean, it's early, but we might have another, you know, future Hall of Fame closer. Well,
do you know what the difference, Matt, between a future Hall of Famer and a Hall of Famer is?
One's
in the Hall of Fame.
I agree. All I'm saying, Kevin, Like I said, Kevin, this is a fan perspective. I get excited.
I thought my take was bold at 1.5 or under on the blown saves. Hall of Fame. Let's slow down for a moment.
Yeah, we gotta chill.
But listen, you never know. Let's get to some of these super chats, guys. If you're here live right now, it's about 400 people here live. So if you haven't subscribed to this channel, please do that. Year-round weekly coverage for Padres fans. Smash the like button for us. Looking for 150 likes tonight. And thank you for the supers and the super thanks. If you happen to be here on replay as well, we appreciate that. But let's roll through some of these and react. Beginning with Paulie D, who got us started earlier, saying Peralta will bounce back. I mean, Peralta has been put in some spots where he has not come through. But somebody asked me about this recently, and I said, listen, he's under contract. He makes good money. I don't presume him going anywhere. They just need to get him back on track is the way I would look at it, right?
Yeah, look, he's had, by the way, hey, Paulie D, I was not expecting that question or comment to go that direction. I thought for sure I was going to get what my emails have been, which is get this guy out of here. What's he still doing on the team? So kudos to saying he'll bounce back. I'm not saying he hasn't made some bad pitches. I don't know that I've seen a guy have as bad a start statistically and made as many good pitches as he's made. He's had some good at bats against him, and yeah, his results have stunk. I have checked around about it because I'm not a scout or a coach. And so I check when my eyes see something, and I don't think there's any worry about Wandy Peralta. He's not a guy who, when Jason Adam, you got to remember this. There have been 4 games this year that Jason Adams' absence has forced Ruben Niebla and Craig Stammen to operate in a different manner than they will down the road. Wandy Peralta will not be in those situations most times if guys are rested once Jason Adams back.
I couldn't agree more. Wandy is getting paid a lot, and I do think he has value in the pen. He won't be a high leverage guy once our big dogs kind of come back. And I think they've given him a little bit of rope, a little bit, some unlucky and some just didn't have his best stuff. Perfect example, Kevin, that Kevin McCognagle or whatever at bat. Mm-hmm. That was like a 9 pitch at bat. Sometimes you tip the cap to the other guy, right? That was great. And then a couple of the hits against I saying this when he blew the game yesterday? And I was like, oh, I got to give him a benefit of the doubt. Probably not in a couple of the texts that I was sending to my brother, but, you know, I think Wandy does have a place in the bullpen, even though I don't think it's the high leverage.
The two lefties that faced him yesterday, Yoshida, those were good at bats, man. Absolutely. I am defending Peralta. I'm not making excuses for him. I'm saying, like, we talk about how hard the pitchers, how hard it is to hit in this league. You know, some pretty good hitters too. That McConagle at bat was phenomenal.
That was ridiculous.
That's why everyone was talking about it. I think Meyer might have had a good at bat against him. Like, the Red Sox are tough, man.
Yeah.
And Wandy's not like a big split guy. He had to come in because Morahone couldn't pitch yesterday because he could have, but not in that situation. You can't pitch a guy every day. And they, you know, he's not a lefty specialist. They used Kyle Hart. Wandy had to be put in that situation, and guys got good hits off him.
Yeah, it happens. It's a long year, and I think he's gonna fill a valuable role. Again, it's not gonna be the most valuable role in their bullpen because their bullpen is suited to have other guys pitching in 7th, 8th, and 9th innings more routinely than him. All right, let's get to another super chat here from North County, Chris. Thank you, Chris. He says Padres are a quad A team for the owners who spend money. I mean, they finally spent. They've still isn't like the richest free agent deal in Pirates history. It's something ridiculous, right? Like, $30 million. For Liriano, like Francisco, it's some ridiculous
thing. Yeah.
They've had a couple of extensions. Brian Reynolds is an extension. But in terms of like sheer free agency, like they've never spent more than like $30 million on a player.
Yeah. Which and is that era, that era that Matt was referring to, the pitchers they had was just ridiculous. Like, as you wonder what's going to happen with Skeens. The fact, though, that they made, and it always takes a player to agree, but they did what they did with Connor Griffin. It's like, oh, are they going to become like the Brewers of Pennsylvania? I mean, are they, you know, are they at least willing to make those types of investments because they have determined at 8,000 people showing up on a Tuesday to watch Bubba Chandler that they can't, spend a lot of money? I don't think Paul Skeens is going to be settling for the Connor Griffin contract.
They should put that on their marketing material, the Brewers of PA. Tickets at pirates.com.
better than, you know, we win better 70 than, games every year.
Yeah, they don't even win 70. The Pirates, it's been a long time since the freaking 1970s for Pittsburgh Pirates fans. It's been a very long time. Sean, appreciate the super chat. He says, is this stretch where this team starts to find its identity for the season, or are we still waiting for that? I mean, I don't think it's way too early to say probably most teams have found an identity, but I think they're figuring something out here over the last few days. Oh, look at this.
This is Fernando Tatis Jr. So I named cat after Tatis. Maybe this is the good luck Toddy needs for the sorry about that, guys.
Have they found it? It's funny because I'm going to sit down. I'm going to write my newsletter now after this podcast. And I was thinking kind of along those same lines, right? Like these at bats that I'm seeing, I don't want to overplay them. This team could be prone to chase at some point. They get tomorrow against Skeens completely out the window and they look nothing like they've looked, you know, for the better part of 10 games and certainly these last three games or four games. But I think it's possible. They're certainly trying to do that right now, is establish their identity. They are. Look, there's two teams, I think, that have established their identity. The Dodgers, who basically are running it back from last year, except for the, you know, $200 million more that they spent this offseason to get some players. And the Yankees, who brought back their same team from last year. That's two teams that know their identity, right? Like, as far as I can tell. But the Padres are definitely trying to establish. I don't know if this is the time that they do it. You mentioned, you know, that Cubs game, which was so fortuitous a couple of years ago because they just come off that year in 23 when they couldn't come back at all. Could this weekend in Boston have been that catalyst? Yeah, it could have. That's what I love. I don't know, but I'll see tomorrow when they face Skeens, and then I'll see the next day.
Yeah, I mean, I think, and Sean Diaz, if you are, if you're watching this YouTube stream, Sean is the one that commented. He is an all-time great Instagram follow. He takes some fantastic photos about the Padres. So shout out, Sean. Good to see you in the chat. Appreciate you, man. I think it's early to figure out if this is like season-defining, you know, oh, man, now we found our identity. But, hey, they put up some good at-bats against Paul Skeens tomorrow and get a win. Maybe they are finding something. What I've seen so far is the two games in Boston showed me that they got some fight, and that's all I want to see as a fan, right? Are they always going to win when Wandy comes in and has that incident? Are you always going to win those type of games? Sometimes you're going to lose, but they fought, and it was very impressive to see. You know, that Merrill home run and then Gavin Sheets off the bench with the double and then Tatis with the sac fly with our bullpen. I just want to see I just want to see my team fight and really try to win. And I've been very impressed the last few games for that.
You're scratching and clawing like Fernando.
Yeah, like exactly. Part three. Be like Fernando. Exactly. I know Kevin. Kevin, you're not a cat guy?
Dude. I remembered that your cat's name was that, and I knew you were going to say it, and I just think it's
great.
I just think it's awesome. So
is it Fernando Tatis?
It's Tatis. So my fiance had a cat before we moved in together, and so we wanted to get her the cat a friend. So I got to name this cat, and obviously,
big what's the name of the other cat? What's the fiance?
It's Ladybug and Nando are the Lady two names. Bug. So I wish they were better friends than they are, but we're working on that. So we'll see how that works.
Right, enough on Fernando right now. Par Threes Club, thank you, man, for the super sticker and your support of the channel. We appreciate that. The Beef, what's going on, man? Thank you for your generous support of the channel. He says, how could I forget the collective? Good three wins. Cronin bogey hitting. Castellanos, pieces are fitting together. Marquez must have been tipping last game. Let's beat Skeens and keep it rolling. I heard something really interesting, Kevin. I don't know how much if you have the broadcast up when you're in a press box, but like the Padres.tv broadcast with Scanlon was like, teams are now using AI to try to find freaking tendencies and to find it. They don't even get it in like their human, like, they're not even catching it with their eye. They're catching it afterwards. Like, oh, wow. Like AI is saying when his cleat is pointed this way, it's going to be a breaking pitch. And if his cleat is pointed this way, I mean, I'm speaking out of turn. I don't know what AI is saying, but I'm like, dude,
they were already so good at it. That's insane.
I mean, they're already good enough, but I'm like, by the way, you can't have AI freaking helping teams. I mean, we got rid of trash cans and we're using freaking pitch com, and now we're going to use AI to help teams find tells from pitchers. That to me is probably going far.
I could have used that in high school for sure if that was available. Right?
Tipping's like, oh, a big issue. Tipping's been a big issue that's been over the last handful of years.
Yeah, and they're so good at it, and there's so many people. Manny calls them the nerds. There's so many people working for the team and now AI. Why didn't I think of that? Of course. That's insane. Of course they are using AI.
That's crazy. Insane.
But thank you, the Beef. We appreciate you, man. Yeah, it's been a good couple of days, obviously, for the Padres. Par 3's Club following up by saying Pods will own Skeens. We'll find out in 24 hours or a little less than that. But thank you, man. North County Chris following up by saying Padres fans, stop being that fan base who calls for the manager and coaches getting fired after four games. We're smarter than the East Coast. Matt, would you like to reply to that?
Yeah. So I share the Twitter account with my brother, and you know, sometimes my brother was at the game in Boston this weekend on Saturday, and sometimes I tweet something or he tweets something that we look back on and we're like, well, that might have been a little tough. We have not called for Craig Stammen's head 10 games into the season. I will say that. Have we said we thought he might have made a move or two that we wouldn't have made? Absolutely. But I couldn't agree more with North County Chris, right? Especially with a guy like Craig Stammen. It's a brand new job. He's still ramping up. And I've liked how, and Kevin, you've mentioned this on a couple shows, I've liked how transparent he's been, right? And I know a couple people were a little turned off when he said that he was too tired to make a lineup and Randy Nor made it. But, hey, if you're making the right lineup, Craigie, you can sleep in all you want, right?
Listen. Again, as someone who gets talked to a lot and who talks a lot and says a lot of stupid stuff, put yourself in the place of a manager who talks 400 times a year and he doesn't phrase something perfectly. He did not mean he was too tired to make the freaking lineup. I couldn't believe he was tired of making the lineup and it not working. And he was joking about that. But anyway, by the way, not the first time a bench coach has made a lineup. Maybe the first time in the history of the game, the managers admitted it. So I just think it's freaking awesome what Craig Stammen is doing.
Yeah, I agree. Absolutely. I agree with that. I don't think it's like 11:15. He's like, oh no, I was supposed to be
He's
up.
Like Carter Jensen on the Royals, right? He slept through his alarm. He didn't even play. Insane. That was crazy.
That's utterly
I'm
insane.
Like, that happens to Campy. I don't know if this fan base would be able to handle it, right?
Let's use some common sense. Let's also put ourselves in the place of the guy who has to talk all the time. And I mean, yeah.
Has anyone seen Stammen? It's a 6:40 game here in Pittsburgh. Is he up?
He's tired. He sent Randy Nor. Yeah. Wow.
North County Chris, thanks for following up. He says, I want to be Mason Miller when I grow up. I mean, can you imagine? The story on him, and we're going to get out of here in 2 minutes because it's midnight. It's 12:30 for Kevin. But his story is ridiculous. When he was pitching, like at Gardner Webb, throwing like, at one point, he was like throwing like 90 at Gardner Webb. And then right there, wasn't it something related to like diabetes and he was finally treated effectively, and that allowed him to kind of take off on the path that he's been on. But like, I can't imagine a world where Mason Miller was just like, he's just like a guy, just like an average pitcher, just kind of toiling in college baseball, to go from that to this. That's like this show ending up on like CBS, you know, like in 3 years or something.
You never know.
It kind of is. Wow.
man. I don't know if CBS is the good analogy. But you get the point. CBS, it's like if this thing was on Netflix.
The Padres.
Netflix has picked up a lot of iHeart podcasts nationally and put them on Netflix. If this show ends up on Netflix one day, then I'll say we were the Mason Miller of Gardner Webb before we made it to Netflix. And then the final super of the night from Padres Burner, who says, City Connect 2.0 on Thursday, which jersey to cop? All right, Matt, for you, if you're buying a new City Connect jersey, what player's on the back?
It's a I feel like the Pods Collective fan base will be excited about this answer. He deserves it. Randy Vasquez jersey is in. Wow. I'm confident, man. I'm going into MLB.com Padres. I'm making it myself because I know it's not going to be one of those that you could instantly cop. Randy V City Connect. If I see someone at a Padres game at Petco Park wearing that, I'm buying them a beer. I'm buying them a coffee if they don't drink. I'm buying them something. That's a cool jersey, man. I think a Randy V City Connect would be the one I choose.
I'm going either Ladybug or Tatis Jr.
That's good.
Probably Ladybug.
Ladybug jersey would be a good one too. My fiance will be happy to hear that.
And Kevin, you don't need to answer which jersey you're going to be buying. I don't think you'll be wearing much in the press box.
No.
Oh, wait, actually, I'll do a Kevin Acey jersey. That's the one.
I was going to do a DSG jersey, but wow. Yeah, no, you don't want to do an Acey jersey. You don't want to do that. You never know what someone will say to you.
All right, guys. What do you got, Kevin? Before we get out,
I was going to tell you guys a story.
Wow.
So I'm walking out of the ballpark the other day, and I get yelled at a lot. I mean, usually like good stuff, but sometimes like that I suck. And one that I get, and I can tell by the tone of voice right away, and it's like, AC, I really love Padres Daily. And I get that a lot, right? And I was like, this guy's like, hey, and he's at a balcony at the place across the from the on the park entrance there, that big skyscraper, and he's on the balcony. He's like, AC, I really like. And I was like, oh, okay, he's gonna say Padres Daily. I'm about to go. He goes, really like the Padres Collective.
Oh, wow.
Already, guys, already. Yeah.
That's so I thought, us.
Yeah.
Look at us.
Like, we're going to Netflix.
Yeah, he's loving my writing, but no, he loves Matt Devine is what he loves. Oh, that's what no. it is. And then I'm in my hotel. Get this. This is phenomenal. I was so stoked when this happened. I was in my hotel in Boston. Guy comes up to me. People do it all the time. Again, I'm just like getting ready to just be nice and all that stuff. Let him tell me how much he likes my writing. I'm just ready. And he goes, man, you're Kevin. Yeah. I didn't even know you existed, but I followed Divine Sports Gospel, and I love the Padres Collective.
Wow.
Yes. Hey,
I will say this, Kevin. I don't know if you even see the comments during these shows, but you get a lot of love in the comments
you
section.
Do.
I feel like people are saying, I love seeing this side of Kevin Acey. It's a
didn't know who I was until Matt Devine. I was so stoked. Man. So I told him I was going to tell you, and I decided I wasn't going to tell you like on text or phone. I was going to tell you on the show.
That made my day. Well, it's an honor. It's an honor to do this show with both you guys. And it's also way more fun after 3 wins and 3 losses. So hopefully we could keep doing it after a 3-game win streak.
100%. Guys, before we get out of here, Kevin, you're going to be up tonight writing, getting ready for tomorrow. Anything you want to forward promote that's going to be in the UT over the next 24 hours? Just your newsletter and more, right?
Yeah. Just hey. Subscribe to the newsletter. I hear a lot of people, you know, because you have to subscribe to the paper, right? Like to read the articles, and it's $1 a year. So I can get why that might be a little tough for some people to swing. But the newsletter is free. It's like 3,000 words every night after a game. So the newsletter is free. You can sign up at the UT for that. So yeah, that's my favorite thing I do is the newsletter.
What do you got, Matt?
Yeah. You know, just tweeting a lot about the pods. Pretty much if you... are on Twitter, and we pretty much live tweet every game. So I would check us out on there. We do our little no one asked for this post game shows after games, but I think we might do a podcast tomorrow, me and my brother. But yeah, it's been so much fun doing this show with you guys, and you know, I'm very excited for the season, and hopefully the boys can keep winning some ball games.
Kevin, someone just said in the chat, Jax SDSU says signing up now.
That's one of my good buddies now. Actually. So he's a big John and Kevin fan. So shout out Jax. I appreciate you, Jax, and
Schaefer and Sliwa, week 2 on the radio on San Diego Sports 760. We're off today for the national championship, which was, I got my car detailed. I made dinner. I don't even know how to make dinner, but it was great. I had a full day off, watched the Padres in their entirety, hanging out with you guys. So, but Schaefer and Sliwa, San Diego Sports 760. You can find us on YouTube as well. So make sure to check that out. We'll be on tomorrow from 3 to 6 PM. Guys, great show. Again, if you have not subscribed, please do that. We've got year-round content for you. So please subscribe to this channel and smash that like button for us. And if you're here on replay, thank you for the super thanks as well for Kevin. Kevin, go get some sheets, man. Go get a spagel or a schmuffin or whatever the hell.
I'm about to order something. You know what they get? You know what I get here is a, because it's Pittsburgh, I get a salad
with fries.
Delivered from this place with fries on top. I get a chicken salad with fries on top. Because when you order food at 2 in the morning, you are not just having salad. It's got to have some fries.
Get some pierogies. Throw some pierogies into that order. Come on, live a little. You're when in Pittsburgh, you know. All right. For Kevin and Matt, I'm John. This has been the Padres Collective. We will see you next week. Date TBD. We'll figure out the exact time and place for the next Padres Collective, but it will be next week. Subscribe, and we'll see you next week on the Collective. Take care. Peace, guys.